We're doing Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, and we're holding the 29th chapter, Perek Tisha Ve'Esrim, the 29th, Tisha Ve'Esrim, 29, in the Eshkol editions, that's page Tzadi Aleph. We've been running through the tests that Avram endured, and we're up to the 8th test, Nisayon HaShemini. The 8th test, Vayhi Avram ben 90 shana v'teisha shanim. Correct? Avram was 99 years old. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and God said to him, Italech lefanai ve'yei tamim, walk before me and be whole. And then God commanded him to perform circumcision, to do Brit Milat. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God said to him, Ad achshav lo hayita tamim lefanai, till now you were not whole before me. Ela mol besar olatcha me'alecha, but rather remove the flesh of the foreskin from upon you. Ve'italech lefanai, and walk before me. Ve'yei tamim, and be whole. Sheha'olat me'ahi mikol atumot, for the foreskin is defiled from all the different types of defilement, the spiritual defilements. Shneimaz, the verse says, Lo yosif yavo v'chod arel v'tameh. When Jerusalem will be resurrected, the prophet in Isaiah promises Jerusalem, there will no longer come among you those that are uncircumcised and defiled. So we see from the prophet in Isaiah that when one is uncircumcised, he is called defiled, he is tameh. Sheha'ola mumi mikol mumim, for the foreskin is a blemish that is composed of all the blemishes. Molet besar olatcha, God tells Avram, remove, circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, vehitalech lefanai, and walk before me, ve'yei tamim, and be whole, be complete. Rabban Gamliel omer, Rabban Gamliel says, shalach v'kara l'shem benoach. Avram sent word, he called Shem the son of Noach. Now Shem, we have on tradition, was born circumcised. So he's a fitting person to circumcise because he himself is circumcised. We say that himol yimol, God commands, circumcise, you shall circumcise. So the sages derive from that, one who is circumcised may circumcise. One has to be circumcised in order to be able to circumcise. Now we're glossing over this topic. What I'm saying is partially correct. We're not going to delve into this. But nonetheless, Rabban Gamliel says he sent word to Shem, the son of Noach, and asked him to come umal et besar olato, and Shem circumcised the flesh of Avram's foreskin. Now, we know there are midrashim that say that Avram circumcised himself. This midrash says that it was Shem that circumcised him. Uvsar olat Ishmael beno, he also circumcised the flesh of Ishmael, his son's foreskin. Sheneimaz, the verse says, Be'etzem ayom hazeh, in the middle of this day, at the peak of the day, nimol Avram v'Ishmael beno, Avram and Ishmael, his son, were circumcised. Mao beitzem ayom hazeh, what does the verse mean at the peak of this day? Bigvurat haShemesh, when the sun was most powerful, b'chatzi ayom, at midday. This way, Avram isn't doing it in the dark. He isn't doing it hiding. He's doing it where everyone can see. So one understanding is he did it so as to publicize that he's performing God's mitzvah of circumcision. And the other understanding is that he did it now because the heat of the sun in midday would help him heal better. Now, we should note that this medrash is differing with the opinion of the Gemara in Psachim that says that Avram got up early in the morning to perform the circumcision, that he did it as early as possible, right away at daybreak. This medrash is saying he did it at noon. And according to this medrash, we'll have to say that Avram got the commandment at noon, and then he went ahead and did it at noon. The other understanding is that he got it, I guess, at night, and first thing in the morning he did the mitzvah of the circumcision. So the Medrash is saying, Be'etzem ayom hazeh, at the strength of this day, that's a reference to midday. Ve'lo od, not only that, Ela atya etzem etzem yom ha-kippurim, but we derive, Yom Kippur is also called etzem, at the peak, the power of the day, that's a reference to Yom Kippur. Elsewhere in the Torah, when the Torah refers to Yom Kippur, it says, at the peak of this day, be careful, don't do work, for it is a day of Yom Kippur. So to hear, when it says that Avram did a circumcision at the peak of the day, it's a reference to the fact that Shebiyom HaKippurim Nimol Avram, that Avram was circumcised on Yom Kippur. Now, this again is a point in question. When exactly all of this took place? You know, Avram was circumcised, and 3 days later the angels came to him and told him, Lamoed Azeh, at this time, you're going to have a child next year. So that's why Tosfos asks on this Medrash, and he says, wait a second, if he had a circumcision on Yom Kippur, and 3 days later, which is just before Sukkot, the angels come to him, and they say to him, at this time next year you'll have a child. Turns out that Yitzchak wasn't born on Pesach, and we know Yitzchak was born on Pesach. So that's why Tosfos says that Avram had a circumcision on Pesach. There's another answer that's offered, that really this happened on Yom Kippur, and when they said Lamoed Hazeh, they didn't mean this time next year, but rather this holiday, this coming holiday, meaning we're talking to you now, you're holding by Pesach, Lamoed Hazeh, by this holiday, the coming holiday, Pesach, 6 or 7 months later, you'll have a child, Yitzchak. That's another understanding that's offered. And then this Medrash fits with the Gemara that says that Yitzchak was born on Pesach. So the Medrash is saying Avram had a circumcision on Yom Kippur. V'chol shana v'shana, and every year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu roeh dam habrit shel mila shel Avraham, God takes a look at the blood of the circumcision of Avraham Avinu, umchaper al kol avonoteinu. And then that's part of the cause for God's forgiveness of all our sins on Yom Kippur. Shenemar, as the verse says, ki v'yom hazeh, for on this day, God says, yechaper aleichem neteher etchem, God will forgive you to purify you. Now, the Medrash says that, okay, we'll get to that in a second. The Zohar says that every blood of the circumcision is something that speaks for one's merits and attains one atonement. Some people have the custom that they take a garment with the blood of the baby of the Bris Milah and they hold on to it, and when that person grows up and passes away, so then he's buried with that garment that has that has a little bit of the blood from his circumcision, and that's so that when he comes to the world to come, so to speak, he can say, God, you see this? I did my job. I did my circumcision. And that blood, the Zohar says, the blood from the circumcision gains one atonement. So I haven't seen people perform this custom. I don't even remember where I came across it. It's many, many years ago. But that's what it says. And that's what I remember it says somewhere. Some people have this custom. So the Medrash is saying, when God says, on this day I will forgive you, God is saying, in the merit of what was done historically on this day, and that is the merit of Avram's Dam Bris. So we see that Avram's Bris Mila, at 99 years old, so that's a much bigger feat to perform a circumcision, and that has merits for us for years to come. And that's why God instituted the day of his Bris. That day is also Yom Kippur, and that's the day that God gives us atonement. And in the place where Avram was circumcised and his blood remained, that's where the altar was ultimately built. And according to this, we have to say that even though Avram was living in Hebron, in Mamre's territory, and that's where he had the prophetic vision 3 days later, he traveled out to Hara Moria, to the Temple Mount. And over there, that was a special place for Avram. That's where he had erected his altar, and that's where he went to perform the Bris Milah. It's a little bit difficult because Chazal say that you don't travel with someone after he's had circumcision, which means that Avram had to travel to go back after circumcision to go back home. But okay, that's all we have to say, because it says that the circumcision was done at the place where the altar was, so that means he went to Hara Moriah to have his circumcision. And that's why the verse says, with regard to the Chata sacrifice, it says, "Ve'et kol damo yishpoch el yisod hamizbeach." The remaining blood, the Torah says, when an individual brings a korban chatas, we pour the remaining blood from the vessel to the foundation of the altar. Why does the Torah refer to it as the altar? It's a reference to the altar that's been erected That foundation is where the original Mizbeach was. That was where Avram brought his sacrifice, and that was where he did his Bris Mila. And Va'omer Lach, and God, so to speak, says to the Jewish people, B'damaychayi, with your blood you have life. Va'omer Lach, and I say to you, B'damaychayi, with your blood you have life. So that's the blood that Avram Avinu did his circumcision. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa Omer, Kol animolim bayom ha'shlishi kevulem. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa taught us, all who are circumcised 3 days after their circumcision, they have serious pain. Now, the Gemara also says that 3 days after circumcision we have pain. And the Gemara derives it like the Medrash, and Emmaus, the verse says, on the third day after circumcision, when the people of Shechem were in pain, that's when Shimon and Levi arose and wiped out the city. But there's an argument among the Rishonim, what does the Gemara mean? The Rambam and the Ran say like our Medrash, that on the third day the pain peaks out. The third day is worse than the first two. The Rashba and the Meiri, they say the other way. They say the third day is the last day of extreme pain. And not only on the first day is there extreme pain and on the second day, but the third day as well. That's what the Pasuk is saying, that they couldn't have waited another day because this was the last day that there was extreme pain. So the Medrash seems to be going like the opinion of the Rambam and the Ran. The Medrash seems to be going with the opinion that the third day is the worst. That's what Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa is saying. Whoever is circumcised, on the third day they have pain, meaning their pain is serious. And that's why our sages taught us, sages taught us that if the third day after circumcision comes out on Shabbos, then you bathe the child on that Shabbos, because in their days bathing was critical to healing. Nowadays we don't need it as much. We have higher hygiene, we have better hygiene, so our parents are scared of bathing the kid for a while after the bris, even though we do, but we don't find it critical. In their time, they knew it was critical, that if they didn't bathe the child, it would be critical for him. So 3 days after the meal, if it falls out on Shabbos, we bathe the child, or in Chazal's time, they would bathe the child. And by the same token, anything you need for a milah, for the child to heal, so we do it on Shabbos. The Torah tells us with regard to the Paschal offering, to the Korban Pesach, the Torah says, all who still have their foreskin may not eat of the Korban Pesach. And the Medrash here adds a point that seems this is the source for this point. The Medrash says, Velo yiga b'mikdash, and all who have a foreskin may not touch the temple. Now, the question is, where does this come from? Even a person who's defiled doesn't say that he may not touch the Beis HaMikdash. Here the Medrash is saying, when you have a foreskin, you may not touch the Beis HaMikdash. Where does that come from? So, it's unclear where the Medrash gets this from. But that's what the Medrash seems to say. Haporesh min ha'olah, one who separates himself from the foreskin, meaning he becomes circumcised, kiporesh min ha'kever, it's as though he separated himself from the grave. Meaning, when one has the foreskin on him, he's defiled like the grave. And when he's removed it, it's as though he just separated himself from the grave. Rabban Gamliel b'nosh Rabbi Yehuda Anasi omer, Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, says, b'yom shenimol Avraham, b'yom ha'shlishi ke'ev haya lo me'od. The day Avram was circumcised, 3 days passed, and he was in immense pain. Kedei lenasoto, in order to test him. Now, this Medrash seems to say that the fact that Avram had such great pain was a great test. Meaning, the test wasn't only that he would have a circumcision at age 99, but the test was also that 3 days after the circumcision, he's writhing in pain. How's he going to react? So he's going to have a much greater reward in the world to come because he went through this. But part of the test was that he had to go through this. Sometimes in life we think, hey, if I'm doing what's right, why is it difficult? Why is it painful? And the Medrash says, no. Avram did everything right. This wasn't a punishment. This was part of the test, and that's part of the difficulties of life. Me'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did God do? Nakav chor echad b'geinom. God made a hole, so to speak, in the encasing of perdition. And now you have this hole, so the heat comes flying in from perdition. And God made it a boiling hot day, like the day of perdition where the wicked end up. And Avram went out to sit at the entrance of his tent to try and get a breeze, the breeze of the day, to cool off. The verse says, the verse says he was sitting at the entrance of his tent as the heat of the day was beating down. So God said to the angels, come, let's visit the sick. Shemidat melut chasadim gdola lefanai, for this trait of doing acts of kindness is great before me. Miyad yardu ha-malachim uvikrut Avram. So the angels immediately went down and visited Avram. And here we see that the Medrash is going the way the Rambam goes. The Torah says, God appeared to Avram, and behold, there were three people standing before him. Three angels came to visit him. So the Rambam says that continuation of the story that the three angels came is a description of how God appeared to Avram. God appeared to Avram in a vision of three angels coming to visit him. That's how the Rambam understands, and the Medrash seems to be going that way. Maybe this is the source for the Rambam's understanding. Bo ure kocha shel mila. Come and see the power that the circumcision has. She'ad shelo nimol Avraham, so long as Avram was not circumcised, haya nofel, v'achar kach ani mdaber imo. First he'd fall on his face, and then God could speak to him. She'ne'emar, as the verse says, v'ipol Avram al panav. God fell, Avram fell on his face. Achshav she'nimol, now that Avram was circumcised, hu yoshev, he could sit down and see a vision of prophecy. V'ani umed, so to speak, God stands before him, as the verse says, v'hu yoshev petach ohel, he was sitting at the entrance to his tent, and he saw the vision. He sees the three people standing before him. So it means the angels who are representing God are standing, and Avram is sitting, quite different from the vision he had in the previous parsha, where when he gets the vision, he falls on his face. Now he could sit, see the vision, and the angels are the ones standing. So Avram has been elevated. Once he has the circumcision, he's on a higher level, and he could see the vision of prophecy on a higher level. Rabbi Zeira Omer, Rabbi Zeira said, Chamesh Aralot Ba'olam. There are five types of, so to speak, foreskin in the world. Arba Ba'adam V'achat Ba'ilam. Four are human foreskins, and one is the trees, so to speak, foreskin. Arba Ba'adam Minayin, where do we see four by man? Olat Ozen, the ear is described as having a foreskin. As the verse says, their ear is covered. So ola, foreskin, literally means a covering. Olat svatayim, the teeth being, so to speak, covered up. As the verse says, Moshe Rabbeinu said, v'ani aral svatayim, my lips are stuffed, my lips are sealed, my lips are covered. Olat alev, the heart can be covered. As the verse says, umaltem et olat levavchem, God commands the Jewish people, remove the covering of your hearts. Olat basal minayin, how do we know that there's a covering of the flesh, the foreskin that's circumcised? As the verse says, v'arel zachar, the foreskin over the maleness, asher lo imolet basal olato, if he doesn't get the circumcision of the removal of the skin of his foreskin, then God says he gets cut off. So those are the four types of foreskin, so to speak, coverings. There's the ear that could be covered up, the lips, the heart, and the foreskin of one's maleness. And the verse says, the nations are described as uncircumcised, and the Jewish people are described as having a heart that's uncircumcised. The fifth we didn't get to yet. The fifth is with a tree. Olat alev, the hearts being uncircumcised, does not let one do the will of his Creator. God tells us, remove the foreskin of your heart. Remove the hardness. You're being stubborn people. So when we say that one's heart is uncircumcised, that's a stubbornness that doesn't allow God to enter his heart. So God says, 40 years you've been seeing me do miracles for you, and you aren't willing to recognize that I'm running the world. You've hardened your hearts, and you've hardened your necks, and that stems from your hearts that are uncircumcised. So when the heart is uncircumcised, it doesn't permit one to do the will of his Creator. Ulatid lavon, in the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mesir et olat alev, God will remove this covering of the heart, me'alihin, from upon them. Ve'inan makshin et orpam lifnei bo'am, and they won't harden their necks before their Creator. Shne'emar, as the verse says, v'asiotit lev even yipsachem natati lachem lev basar. I will remove your hearts of stone from within you, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Ve'omer, and the verse says, umaltem et olat levachem, circumcise the foreskin of your heart. Yeah.
Is only Hashem able to circumcise our heart, or can we circumcise our heart?
Seems like we have the obligation. The verse says, umaltem, you should remove the foreskin of your heart.
How?
I don't know how. It says we should remove our stiff necks.
But Moshe already said you are a stiff neck nation. So,
right.
Sounds like a big task.
Yeah. I don't know.
What about the Beit HaMikdash? No one touch it.
No one was uncircumcised.
Is it referring to the normal circumcision? Or
that's
is
what
it
seems like. No, it seems the normal circumcision.
The real thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And how was it possible that there were people who were uncircumcised?
Let's see, in a second they'll tell us. In a minute we'll get to the. Well, this is a long medrash, but we'll get to it. Achat Bailan, we said there's one more type of being uncircumcised, so to speak, being covered up. That's with reference to a tree. As the verse says, when you come to the land, and you plant all types of fruit-bearing trees, treat the fruit as though it's covered with a foreskin, treat the fruit as though it's covered up. Rabbi Zrika Omer, so we know the first 3 years we don't eat the fruits of a fruit-bearing tree. Rabbi Zrika Omer, in it's a mukan ele it's a gafen. Rabbi Zrika says that this only applies to grapes. We say it applies to all types of trees. He says it's only grapes. If we don't remove, so to speak, its foreskin, if we don't contain ourselves from taking the fruits the first 3 years, then all the fruit that the tree produces will be fruit that looks poor, will be fruit that doesn't form good clusters. And its wine is going to be disqualified from coming upon the altar. And if we, so to speak, cut off its wooden foreskin, meaning we refrain from taking the fruits the first 3 years, all the fruits that it produces will be good looking, and their wine will be chosen to be brought before the Mizbech. By the same token, Avram, and notice that the Medrash is comparing Avram to the tree. We find in the Torah also, Ki Adam Etz HaSadeh. So the Kabbalists took this to be something that works throughout the Torah, that man and the tree are interrelated. That's why the Kabbalists are the ones that stress Tu Bishvat. Tu Bishvat is the festival of what's the festival? Well, the Kabbalists have a lot to say about it. In the Mishnah and the Gemara, it's unclear that there's really a festival then. It's a halachic period, right? Mm-hmm. So the Medrash is saying that just like the tree has to have this period where it's considered uncircumcised and then it becomes fitting, so to Avram, ad shelo nimol, till he was circumcised, the fruits that Avram bore, the child that he bore, Yishmael, wasn't good, and it was disqualified from coming upon the altar. Uchshenimola, once Avram was circumcised, the fruit that he bore, Yitzchak, hayatov b'masav, was good in its actions, nesech, and its wine was chosen on the altar to be the wine of libation, as the verse says, v'yayin nanesech. Rabbi Yochanan omer, Rabbi Yochanan taught us, kol makhishei Hashem, all people who initially wouldn't accept that God exists, and then Abaim b'Yisrael, they join the Jewish people, nimolim b'tovatam uv'yotzonam, they get circumcised of their own volition, of their own will, uv'yirat shamayim em nimolim, and they are God fearing people that they get circumcised. So Rabbi Yochanan is telling us, when a person becomes a ger, he's coming in, that's no small feat. He's coming in of his own volition and he's getting circumcised. And he's getting circumcised not at 8 days old, he's getting circumcised at an older age. And he's doing it out of his own will and out of Yirat Shamayim. These are precious people. The Apar Pichen, and nonetheless, in Ma'aminim Bahem Ad Shiva Dorot. We don't have faith in them till 7 generations pass. And we discussed this at length in the class on Dov's Yard site. We discussed at length and we discussed the fact that one has a connection to another world automatically weakens one, whether one likes it or not. And one has to be extra vigilant. And we discussed the different midrashim that discuss the strengths of the Gerim and what the Gerim gave to Am Yisrael, and that there are different types of Gerim. But nonetheless, the Midrash also teaches the Ger that he has to watch himself. We mentioned, I think, in the class. I don't know if we mentioned, but we had a student here whose grandmother was a Gioret. And he told me that being that he's still in touch with all the non-Jewish family, so he feels like he has two options in his life. He's already a great-grandson. But he's still in touch with the relatives, the aunts, the uncles, the great aunts, the great uncles. So he feels, the way he's leading his life, that he has two options, to be Jewish or not to be Jewish. A Jew that's born from a Jew is born from a Jew. 7 generations later, that's where he is. But in the beginning, it's very difficult for one and even one's children, even one's grandchildren, and even great-grandchildren to feel like, this is my life. So that's the Midrash is telling us something to be concerned about. Now, on the one hand, the ideal for a ger would be that he could cut off his old life and start a new life and have nothing to do with everything in his past. Usually it's not feasible to do that. One has parents, one has siblings, it's difficult. One ger told me, I asked him, how does he do it? So he said, well, the second we left the church and became Jewish, they would not talk to us again. They made our life very easy. So he told me, they made our life easy. They have nothing to do with us. But most people, it's not that way. And we have to know that it's something to contend with. It's not easy. It's not easy for us, our spouses, our children. Generations later, it's still not easy. So we can minimize it. Our responsibility is to think how to minimize it. We don't have to go there all the time or invite them here all the time. And once you've switched continents, so you've already done you've advanced greatly. But nonetheless, the Midrash is saying, they're great people. They did more than a Jew. They did it of their own volition, not at 8 days old. They're God-fearing people. And nonetheless, they have to recognize this is something to contend with. Shelo yashuvu amayim limotzayim, that the water should not return to its source. Meaning, water can't deny, this is where I streamed from. Well, don't go back. It's not easy to not go back. It's not easy. So, one of the things is to try and maintain a distance. And a person always thinks he's stronger than he is. We all have that. We all assume that we're stronger than we really are. Chazal always told us, be careful. And this is true for a Jew as well. Chazal said, after 70 years of being a faithful Jew, you don't know. You might end up being apikores. So we all pray and try, but we never know. An honest person knows that he doesn't know. And when one has what to contend with, he's better off recognizing that he has to contend with it. Aval, but says the Midrash, avadim, the slaves, nimolim shelo b'tovetam shelo b'tzonam. They get circumcised. It's not of their own volition. It's not of their own will. Now this is complicated because really halachically we say that a slave who doesn't want to get circumcised doesn't get circumcised. He does have a choice. He has a choice. Do I want to become Jewish or not? So the Midrash probably means that, yeah, what's his alternative? You'll sell him to another owner, to a non-Jew. He knows he's better off by you. He knows you're limited in what you can do to him. And he knows that if you mistreat him, he'll end up being free and the courts will stand up for him. So it's not like he has that much of a choice. What's his alternative? To go to a non-Jew and there he'll do whatever he wants with it. So you ask him, he says, yeah, I want it. But does he really want it? Not really. So the Midrash says, Ve'en emunah ba'avadim. And when it comes to ger, we say for 7 generations you have to be worried. But slaves, there's no faith whatsoever. Kach kol avadim shenim olu im Avraham avinu. By the same token, all of Avraham's servants, lo nitfemu lohem velo zaram b'Yisrael. You see, they didn't last and their children didn't last. Avraham had servants. It says everyone was circumcised. Where are they all today? So there's a Midrash that says they're the neshamas of Gerim. There is such a Midrash. This Midrash says we see no history of them. They don't show up again in history. They were all circumcised. You think Avraham taught them all to be God-fearing people. Why is there no mention of them? So the Midrash says, because they didn't last, they were servants. What choice did they have? Avraham said, you're getting circumcised. What are they going to say? No, he's their master. So, Uminayin Shemalan, how do we know Avram circumcised them? Shneimaz, the verse says, all the people in his house, those that were born in his house, they were all circumcised. V'lama malan, then why did Avram circumcise them? Bishvil ha'tahara, for purity. Shelo itamut adonim b'machalam uv'mishtehim, that they shouldn't defile their master, they shouldn't defile him with their food and drink. So here the Medrash seems to be taking what it said earlier, all the way, saying they're defiled and everything they touch is defiled, and if Avram doesn't want to be defiled, he has to circumcise them. Yeah.
What you just said about the servants who were circumcised, the servants of Avram that disappeared with the additional part of the Yemen, makes also more sense that the girls could than Avram.
Ah, yes.
This kind of really direct kesha that they have been with Avram.
I seem to remember, I didn't see this medrash inside now, but I seem to remember such a medrash. So I think there's such a medrash. Now the medrash goes off on a tangent. I don't know if you guys have it in your version. Yeah, you have it. Shekol mi shocheli me'evet. Yeah, you have it in parentheses. Shekol mi. What?
It is a normal thing. There's no parentheses or anything.
Okay, so here, the Medrash continues, and it's speaking about a slave, and there are other versions that say that it wasn't talking about slaves initially. It was talking about other people, that the censors changed it. So the Medrash continues, Shekol mi shocheli me'evet, whoever eats with the slave. But it's not really talking about slaves. It's talking about anyone that's uncircumcised. And it's not talking about anyone that's uncircumcised, it's talking about very specific people that are uncircumcised, but the censors changed it. Kilo ocheli makelev, it's like he ate with a dog. Ma'akelev shelo nimol, just like the dog doesn't get circumcised, kach evet shelo nimol. So too, this slave is uncircumcised. V'chol anogah ba'evet, and whoever touches him, kenogah ba'met, it's like he touched the dead. V'chol arochetz imo, and whoever washes with him, kerochetz im etzora, it's like he's washing with a leper, like one who has tzaraas. Shehem mechayehem kimetim, for in their lives they're considered dead. Uvmotam, and when they're dead, kenivlat asadeh, they're like a carcass of an animal in the field. Ven tvilatan nichnes lifnei kadosh baruch hu, and their prayer doesn't enter before God. Valehem umern, regarding them, the verse says lo hametim yalelu ya, the dead cannot praise God. Who are the dead? So he says these are these people who in their lives are considered dead. Aval Yisrael, Sheheni Molin, but Israel, that are circumcised, Tfilatan Nichneset Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, their prayer enters before Hashem. Valehem Umer, regarding them, the verse says, V'anachnu, we, Nevarech Ya, we bless God, Me'ata Ve'ad Olam, Alleluia. Rabbi Umer, Yitzchak Malet Yaakov. Yitzchak, when he had his children, he circumcised Yaakov. Ve'esav Ma'as Ba'mila, Keshem Shema'as Ba'b'chora. Esav was disgusted with his circumcision, just as he was disgusted with his rights to the firstborn. Shneimar, as the verse says, "Vayivez Esav et avchora." Esav disgraced his rights to the firstborn. So, there are different understandings as to what this means. One understanding is that when he was born, the Torah says that he was red. So we know that a child who's red, we're concerned that maybe there's a problem with his blood, maybe his blood doesn't clot well, and we wait with the circumcision. So Yitzchak sees that his child is red, and he waits with the circumcision. And by the time Yitzchak's ready to circumcise him, Esav says, "No way you doing that to me," and Esav refused, and Yitzchak couldn't overpower him. That's one opinion in the Midrash. Another opinion says that Yitzchak circumcised him. But Esav, well, Esav was running around chasing women all day, and Esav knew that one who is uncircumcised has a better time than one who is circumcised. The circumcision removes some of the pleasure. So Esav was moshech bo'olato. There's a concept that one can pull his skin so that he can make the skin as though he has a foreskin. If he pulls long and hard enough, then he can make it that, I mean, there's a whole movement in the United States that try to do that. The one can cause oneself to have a skin covering the gland, and it'll be as though one has a foreskin, even though one's foreskin was removed. So the other opinion says, it doesn't have to be painful. I mean,
if you tear it,
he's not tearing it. Just keep on stretching it, pulling it over it. You keep stretching it. Eventually, it seems it can stretch. That's what Chazal say. That one can cause his arla to stretch. Not only that, Chazal say, if a Jew has relations with a non-Jewish woman, then that will cause him to have his arla come back. Says it comes back. Now nowadays, I don't think anyone's seen such a thing happen. So Chazal say that. Chazal give us an indication that this might mean spiritually. Does Chazal say that whoever has relations with a non-Jewish woman, when he goes to perdition, Avram doesn't recognize him? The Gemara says, any Jew that goes to perdition, Avram goes in, sees his bris milah and says, you don't belong here, and pulls him out. But if a Jew has relations with a non-Jewish woman, then says Avram can't recognize him. So it could be that when the Medrash said that it's that his foreskin comes back, it doesn't mean physically, it means spiritually. We just saw that the foreskin has all kinds of spiritual implications as far as being spiritually pure or spiritually impure. So it could be that's what the Gemara is referring to. So Esav disgraced the circumcision. The Yaakov, and Yaakov, he davak bivrit milah, he clung to the circumcision. Umalet banav, Yaakov circumcised his children, Vet Benein Benav, and his grandchildren. How do we know Yaakov's children were circumcised? As the verse says, when they came to bargain with the people of Shechem, what do they say? This is their condition to agree with us if we circumcise ourselves like them. That's what they told people of Shechem. So you see, the children of Yaakov were all circumcised. Esav, we don't see any remnant of circumcision in Esav's family. You see, Esav disgraced circumcision. He wasn't interested in it staying in his family. Yaakov taught his children and his grandchildren, and it kept up, as we see in the Torah. They circumcised their children, and they made it a tradition, something that remained forever. Till years later, Pharaoh arose and decreed upon them all kinds of difficult decrees, and Pharaoh prevented them from circumcising their children. And on the day that the Jews left Egypt, they all got circumcised. Again, we see people were circumcised and went on a huge expedition after the circumcision. It's a little bit wondrous. Migadol v'ad katan, from the old to the young, everyone got a circumcision, as the verse says in Yoshua, kimulim ayu kol am hayotzim. All the Jews that left Egypt were all circumcised. V'ayu lochim dam milah v'dam pesach, and they took the blood of their circumcision and the blood of the paschal offering. V'ayu notnim al hamashkof batehem, and they painted their doorpost with that blood. God told them, paint your doorpost with blood. So they took both bloods and they painted the doorpost with them. And when God passed to plague Egypt, and saw the blood of the circumcision and the blood of the paschal offering on their doorpost, God was suffused with compassion towards Israel, as the verse says, I passed over you, and I saw you mitposeset b'damayich, wallowing in your blood, and I declared to you b'damayich, in that blood chayi you will live. And I declared to you b'damayich, with that blood chayi you will live. Why is the blood referred to twice? Amar Rabbi Eliezer, v'chimara ha'katuv lomar shtei pamim b'damayich chayi. Rabbi Eliezer said, why did the verse have to say twice, you will live in your blood? El amar ha'kadosh baruch hu, but God said, b'zchut dam brit milah v'dam pesach, in the merit of the blood of the circumcision and the blood of the paschal offering, ka'alti etchem yimitzrayim, I've redeemed you from Egypt. Uvizchutam atem atidim nigael besof malchut revit. And in their merit, ultimately, you will be redeemed at the end of the fourth kingdom. Lechach ne'emar shtei fa'amim b'damayi chayi. That's why it says twice, your life is in your blood. You will live in that blood. Rabbi Ishmael Omer. Rabbi Ishmael says, lo ikev Avram mikol asher tzivahu. Everything God commanded Avram, he didn't detain. God commanded him to do things, he did them right away. Ukshenolad Yitzchak, when Yitzchak was born, ben shmona yamim yigishol amila, at 8 days old, he brought him forth to do the circumcision as God had commanded. Shnemaros, the verse says, v'yamal Avram Yitzchak beno ben shmonat yamim. Avram circumcised his son Yitzchak 8 days old. V'yigishol amincha gavem yizbech. And he brought that circumcision like one brings an offering, a mincha offering on the altar. Notice that the bris is compared to the bringing of an offering. And this is brought halachically. We say that the sandik, the one that holds the baby at the time of the circumcision, he gets holiness as though he was the altar. And the father, when he brings the child, it's as though he's bringing the child as an offering. No one's killing the baby. No, God forbid. But the fact that we bring the child forward to be circumcised is as though we brought an offering, and that's what the Pasuk is saying. That Avram, he brought his son to be circumcised, it's as though he brought him as an offering. Now, the Medrash continues. It's going to take us about another 15 minutes to finish it. Usually the Medrash is a little shorter. You guys have strength? Or should, yeah? Okay. V'asah simchal mishteh. And Avram made happiness and the party. Mikan amru chachamim, from here our sages taught us, chayav adam nasot simcha u'mishteh b'oto hayom shezachah lamul et bno. A person must make a day of rejoicing, a feast, on the day that he merits to circumcise his son, k'avram avinu, just as Avram did. Shneimar, the verse says, v'yas Avram mishteh gadol b'yom igamel Yitzchak. Avram made a great party on the day that Yitzchak was weaned. So what does Yitzchak's weaning have anything to do with the bris milah? So the Medrash says, the Medrash is learning that this verse is indicative of the feast that Avram made also on the day that he did a bris milah. And there's another Medrash that says that the pasuk says biyom hi gamel, on the day that Yitzchak was weaned, he gimel are the first two letters of hi gamel, he gimel is eight, and then the last two letters are mal, bris milah. So we derive from the verse, Avram made a great feast on the day, hey gimel, eight, mal, when he did a circumcision of Yitzchak his son. That's how there's another medrash that darshan's here. So this medrash doesn't tell us exactly how, but the medrash tells us that from this verse we see that when the child became complete, he made a feast for him. How did he become complete? He became complete when he got a bris milah. Okay, that's another understanding here. Shloshainu inin. There are three types of affliction. Inui atzom, affliction of fasting. Vinui bet asurim, an affliction of being in bandage, being jailed. Vinui aderech, an affliction of traveling. Inui atzom inayin, how do we see that fasting is called inui, called affliction? As the verse says, inayti v'atzom nafshi, I afflicted my soul with fasting, King David says. Inui bet asurim inayin, how do we know that being in jail is referred to in the Bible as inui, as affliction? As the verse says, inuva kevel raglo, they afflicted him in bondage by binding his feet. Inui aderech minayim, how do we know that traveling is called affliction? As the verse says, inav aderech kochi, he afflicted my strength in travel. Umeinui aderech lomalu bnei Yisrael, and from the affliction of traveling, the Jews did not circumcise throughout the 40 years that they were traveling in the desert. On any day, God might have told them to travel, so they never knew how long they had to camp. So they could never circumcise their kids, because they knew the kids need to rest. That's what we discussed earlier. You don't travel with a child that's just been circumcised. As the verse says, that when they entered the land of Israel, they had to do mass circumcision. They just entered, they crossed the Jordan. Pesach is about to come in. They're holding in Nisan. They're a few days away from Pesach. And God says, you can't celebrate Pesach this way. The Jews have to be circumcised. So Yeshua prepares sharp stones, and they do mass circumcision, and they have hills of foreskins. They have mounds of foreskins. Yeah.
You said you don't travel with the child which was circumcised. What in the case that a woman gives birth to a child during a travel, during a voyage?
Nowadays things are different. I mean, today everything we do is different. A child barely bleeds. Our sanitation is on a much higher level. Our traveling is different. We don't travel with dust. Wherever we travel, we have sanitation. It's a different story. Look, people travel half the country to bris and come back from the bris. No one says boo. I mean, I wouldn't want the kimpetur, the woman who just gave birth. I'm concerned about her. She should rest. The baby, you know, the baby in a car today, he could have air conditioning, he could have heating. It's not a great idea. We don't try to move him. But it's not like in their times where you're traveling on a donkey, he's being bounced up and down. He's in the heat of the sun. He's in the cold of the night. He's getting the dust of the desert. It's a different world. You don't have proper sanitation. He's making in his diapers, and you don't have a way of cleaning those diapers properly. Today, it's a different world we live in. Think back then what it meant. You're traveling, and the baby fills a diaper. How many diapers could you have to change them? Two, three, how much water do you have to clean those diapers? When you're home, you have your well. When you're not home, you're a little bit shorter on water. You need the medical treatment. We don't have a problem. Our children don't even need medical treatment. The only thing we put on a baby today, the only thing we should put on a baby today is an antiseptic. We put something top and ensure that, that it doesn't have infection. But even that, 99% of the babies don't need it. If you just leave it either with the bandage, without the bandage, the way we live, it's not a problem. You bathe the baby, you keep the area clean. The way we live, it's not an issue. I'm not saying that you should do that. My recommendation is that you do what the mole tells you, and he'll tell you, bathe the baby and put the antiseptic, and that's very, very important. We don't play games with it. I'm saying even we see parents who don't listen to us. We see parents who want to skimp on that 15 shekel. It sounds crazy, but we see that. So when we know about it, we give them, here, take it, put it on. And then we see parents who don't listen. They think it's a joke. And the babies, Baruch Hashem, are okay. I mean, but that's not to say there aren't babies who get infection and have to go to the hospital. That happens too. I mean, you can't be stupid. There's a reason why we do this. But at the end of the day, we don't live in the dangers that they live. I mean, we say you don't have to bathe the baby 3 days after the circumcision. They said you have to do it even if you have to heat water on Shabbos, do it. Because for them it was bikuach nefesh. The way we live, it's not bikuach nefesh. We have fresh wipes. The baby gets a shower and a bath and everything's clean. And we have disposable diapers. And, you know, they call the baby an olel. In the Torah, a baby's called an olel. You know what olel means? The filthy one. Because they didn't have disposable diapers. So the baby is always filthy. So the Gemara says, if you see a baby next to Truma or Meiser, you assume it's tummy. Because what does he have? All he has is filth. What were their toys? Their toys were lizards, their toys were toads and frogs, chicken heads, right? How do you entertain a baby? What does the Gemara say? Give him a grasshopper, he bite off the head. That's okay. So think about it. If you're living that way and you're touching toads and frogs and that's what you're touching, so okay. And then life's a little different. So, because the Jews were afflicted with traveling, they did not circumcise their children throughout the years in the desert, as the verse says in Yoshua, "Kilomalu otam baderach." They didn't circumcise them in the way in the traveling. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, "Bechi Yisrael shelo nimolu shamu kolosh laKadosh Baruch Hu al Har Sinai v'natan lehem et haTorah." Can you say that the Jewish people who were uncircumcised, they're the ones that heard God's voice at Sinai and they received the Torah? God forbid to say such a thing. Nimolina you. All of them were circumcised. When the Torah says that the Jews required a second circumcision upon entering the land of Israel, it doesn't mean that all their children that were born from the time they left Egypt 49 days till they stood at Sinai were uncircumcised. Can't be. All those children heard God's voice being uncircumcised. They were circumcised. They didn't remove the ora priya, the thin film, the thin membrane that is under the foreskin. We know that the foreskin is built as two layers. There's the skin, the outer skin, and then underneath the foreskin folds over, and there's a thin membrane that also encompasses the gland. That thin membrane, when you cut off the foreskin, can sometimes remain stuck onto the gland. That's called ora priya, the skin that has to be torn down. We tear it down over the aver. And if one is circumcised, then you don't remove, you don't uncover the mila, you don't uncover it, you don't remove that film. Then it's as though he is uncircumcised. And there are opinions that say that if you don't push down that film, that ora priya, then the skin can grow back. That ora priya, when you push it down, so that also prevents the skin from growing back. There is such an opinion as well. So at any rate, Shevaule Yisrael Eretz Yisrael, when the Jews came to the land of Israel, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Yoshua, God said to Joshua, Eata Yodash En Yisrael Nimolin Ketiknan, don't you know that the Jews aren't properly circumcised? Chazor Umoltam Pam Shnia, repeat, circumcise them a second time, fix what wasn't done in the past. Now, our sages say they weren't commanded originally to do this. Only later, now, they got this commandment that part of circumcision is removing that film. Shnemaz, the verse says, Monet Neisrael Shenit, circumcise them a second time. So what Rabbi Shmuel achieved with saying this is that the Jews at Sinai were all circumcised. They were all properly circumcised, and now God tells Yeshua, it's improper to do it that way. You have to finish the job, and that is removing that film. And he gathered all the foreskins till he had a hill. Shnemar, the verse says, he circumcised the Jewish people to the hill of foreskins. And the Jews took this foreskin and the blood, and they covered it with the dust of the desert. And this is to show that we're different from the nations of the East. The nations of the East, they would always circumcise over the water. And we showed that we're not that way. And the Medrash is going to explain that that there's good reason why we always cover it with dust. Ukshava Bilam HaKosem, and when Bilam the magician came, ra'a et kol ha-midbar male ma'olatan shel Yisrael, he saw the desert, he's looking to the desert, and he sees throughout the desert there are foreskins buried, Jewish foreskins buried throughout the desert. He saw this with his magic. Amar mi uchal la'amod b'zchut brit dam mi'amila shum kuse ba'afar. Who could stand against this merit of the circumcision, the blood of the covenant of the Jews with God that's covered with the earth? Now think about it. God tells Avram, your offsprings are going to be like the earth. And we, when we cut that area, so you think, well, how much could we multiply? We take that foreskin and we cover it with the earth that represents that we will multiply. So he said, who could stand up to that, the blood of the bris that's covered with the earth, as the verse says, Mimana afa Yaakov, who could count the earth of Jacob? Mikan amu chachamim, from here our sages said, Mechasin et olat adam ba'afar haaretz. We cover the foreskin and the blood with the earth, and that's why Sfaradim have the custom. And according to Kabbalah, and here we see it in the Medrash, and by the way, this Medrash is ancient Kabbalah. The Sam Rishonim didn't have any other source of Kabbalah other than this. So the Sfaradim have the custom that when they come to a bris, they bring earth in a vessel, and right after the bris, they put the foreskin in the earth and they cover it to fulfill this Medrash. Ashkenazim, you take the foreskin and you bury it outside in the earth. You give it to the father to bury, or the mole buries it, someone buries it. So the Sfaradim want to do it right away, like the Medrash seems to say. Not only that, I don't know if the Medrash indicates like the Sfaradim more than the Ashkenazim. I take that back. Not only that, but the Jews were compared to the earth, as the verse says. God promises Avram, your offspring will be like the earth of the ground. And this is the way the Jews customarily would circumcise, till the Jewish kingdom was divided into two kingdoms. And the kingdom of the north had the Jews doing idol worship. Umalchut Ephraim, and the kingdom of the north, the kingdom of the ten tribes, the kingdom of Ephraim, manu mehim et amila. They prevented their citizens, they prevented the Jews of the north, the ten tribes, from circumcising. And Eliyahu of blessed memory stood up and avenged a great vengeance. He swore to the heavens that there will be no more dew or rain to the ground. So Eliyahu sees the Jews are not performing their covenant, they're not performing the circumcision, and he swears that there will be no water, there will be no dew and no rain. So the queen Jezebel hears, and she wanted to kill him. Amad Eliyahu stood, he prayed before God. Amalo, so Eliyahu, he's in danger. What does he do? He stands up and he prays. And he says, God, if the Jews are going to sin again, so why should I stay alive? What's my life worth? Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God said to him, Tovata Ma'avotecha, do you think you're any better than your forefathers? Esav bikesht Yaakov la'orgo. Esav seeked Yaakov out to kill him. As the verse says, Yikrivu yimei evel avi v'argat Yaakov achi. Esav said, the days of my father's mourning will come close. Soon my father will die. And then I'll murder Yaakov, my brother. What did Yaakov do? He didn't stand and pray before me and say, God, that's it, it's over. Uvarach. Yaakov ran milfanav from before Esav v'nimnat. And he made it away. Shneimaz, the verse says, Vayivrach Yaakov shdei Aram. Yaakov ran to the fields of Aram. Paro bikesh larog et Moshe. Paro wanted to kill Moshe. Uvarach milfanav. Moshe ran away v'nimnat. And he made it away. Shneimaz, the verse says, Vayivrach Moshe mipnei Paro. Moshe ran away from the face of Paro. He spent many, many years in hiding from Paro. According to some opinions, it was 63 years that he spent out there hiding from Paro. Shaul bikesh larog et David. King Saul wanted to kill David. Uvarach milfanav, and David ran away. V'nimlat, and he made it. Shneimaz, the verse says, V'David barach v'yimalet. David ran, and he made it. He got away. L'lamedcha, to teach you. Shekol mishu v'orach, whoever knows how to run, nimlat, he gets away. So if we think, God, you're running the world. So if I'm supposed to die, I'll die. And if I'm supposed to live, I'll live. And God says, no. You'll live if you run. You want to live? Run. What do you want? Eliyahu turns to God and God says, you think you're better than Yaakov? You think you're better than Moshe? You think you're better than David? That's the rule in life. If they're going to kill you, run. You run, you'll make it. Yeah.
There's the joke where an old Jew is sitting in his house and there's a flood. And the flood is already covering the first floor, so he moves to the second floor. The ship is coming to the window of the second floor. And he says, come on, evacuation, we take you out. He says, no, I wait until Hashem is, they're saving me. I wait for Hashem. I'm a from Jew. I always believed in Hashem. Hashem, he always helped me. I wait for Hashem. So the flood is now coming higher and higher. He's already climbing on the roof. Another ship comes and says, like, come on.
It's a pizza, sorry.
You have to get out.
So Hashem told Eliyahu, all your predecessors ran and they got away. Lelamedcha to teach you shekol mishu vorech nimnat. Whoever runs gets away. Amad Eliyahu uvarach meyotz Yisrael v'nimnat. Eliyahu got up, he ran away from the land of Israel, and he got away. Shneimar, the verse says, vayakom vayochal vayishte. He arose, he ate, he drank, and then he traveled out. Nigla alav kadosh baruch hu v'amar lo malach afo Eliyahu. God appeared on Eliyahu. And we learned this, and God said to him, what are you doing here, Eliyahu? Amalo, so God said, Kano kineti, I've been zealous, I've avenged your vengeance, the Jewish people have left your covenant. Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God said to him, Lo'olam atam kane, you're forever vengeful, you're always taking my, you're always being zealous on my behalf. Kineta bashitim al gilui arayot. When the Jews were in Shittim, and we know that that Cosby and Zimri were sinning, so Pinchas got up and he was vengeful for God. He killed them. Shneimar, the verse says, Pinchas ben Elazar, Pinchas the son of Elazar, he was vengeful for my name. And Chazal tell us Pinchas was Eliyahu. V'chanatam kane, and here again you're being vengeful. Chayecha, I swear by your life, she'en Yisrael osin brit mila ad she'ata roe be'enecha. That the Jews won't perform a circumcision unless you see it with your eyes, till you're there to see it with your own eyes. So God gave him the crown of covenant of peace when he was vengeful for God's name as Pinchas. And then when he spoke badly about the Jewish people, so God said, in order for you to retain that crown, the covenant of peace with me, you have to keep testifying before me. Look, the Jews performed this priest, they performed that priest. Mikani kinu chachamim, from here our sages instituted sheyusim moshav kavod lemalach habrit, that we make a special throne, a special seat of honor for the angel of the covenant, and that's Eliyahu. Shneimar, the verse says, umalach habrit asher atem chafetim, the angel of the covenant that you always seek out, we prepare the chair for him at the bris. Hinei va, behold, he will come. When Malachi, the last prophet, prophesizes about the time when things will get better, so he says that in the time to come, so then Eliyahu, who is the angel of the covenant, he will come. And we always seek him out, every bris, we make a throne for him. Elohei Yisrael yachish li'avi b'chayenu, Mashiach l'nachamenu. The God of Israel should bring him swiftly in our lifetimes, the Messiah to comfort us, v'chadesh levavenu, and he should renew our hearts, sh'ne'emar, as the verse says, v'yeshiv levavot al-banim v'levanim al-avotam. God will return the hearts of the father to the children and the children to their father. So what do we see tonight? What do we see? Let's quickly review. We saw that Avram's eighth test was that at 99 years old, God told him, be complete, walk before me, and get circumcised. He called Shem and had himself and his son Yishmael circumcised in the middle of the day. We saw that that day was the day of Yom Kippur. We saw that Avram was circumcised specifically on Har HaMoriah at the place where the altar would be, and that blood was what God sees on Yom Kippur, and it's our source of life, that God forgives us by the merit of that blood. God forgives us on Yom Kippur. On the third day, he was extremely in pain, and our sages say that that's why we bathe the child 3 days after his circumcision. And the Torah says that one who is uncircumcised cannot eat from the Paschal offering, he may not even touch the temple. And when he separates himself from the foreskin, it's as though he's separated from the grave. Avram was in great pain that third day. and God made a hole in perdition, so to speak, to heat up the world. And Avram sat at the entrance to his tent to catch the breeze of the day. And then God appeared to him to visit the sick. Now that Avram was circumcised, he doesn't fall on his face when he gets prophecy, but rather he remains sitting and the angels come and stand before him. Then the Midrash told us that there are five types of coverings, five types of foreskins in the world. There's a covering of the ear, the covering of the lips, the covering of the heart, and the covering of the foreskin, and then there's the covering of the fruit tree. And ultimately God will remove the covering of our heart, and then we'll be able to be more God-fearing people. Just as the tree, so long as it has the covering, the fruits aren't good, so to Avram, so long as he had the foreskin, his fruits weren't good. And just as the tree after the 3 years, the fourth year, the fruit is good to come on the altar, so to Avram, after he was circumcised, the fruit, the child that he had, Yitzchak, he was the one that was fitting to continue his way. Rabbi Yochanan taught us about the greatness of the Gerim and what they have to be careful of, that they have to worry about their past and that they shouldn't return to it. And that Avram's servants, they weren't like the Gerim. They were circumcised against their own volition, whether they liked it or not. And that's why we don't find that they had a continuum. And the Medrash then went on to speak about the impurities of the slaves. And we said it's really not a reference to the slaves, but it's a reference to the different nations that are uncircumcised. And the Medrash said that Yaakov maintained the tradition of Mila, as we find when the children were bargaining with the people of Shechem, whereas Esav disgraced the Mila, he was uninterested in the Mila, and that's why we said he pulled back his foreskin, he tried to resurrect it, and he didn't continue the tradition with his own children. The Jewish people, on the day they left Egypt, all circumcised, and when they put the blood on the doorpost, they put together the blood of their bris together with the blood of the Mila, and that's why in that merit they were redeemed, and in that merit they'll be redeemed in the time to come. The Medrash then told us that Avram circumcised Yitzhak on the eighth day, and that's like bringing an offering, as we discussed the halachic implications, and he made a feast, and so too we're supposed to make a feast when we make a bris. When the Jews were in one of the three forms of affliction, the affliction of traveling, they couldn't circumcise their children. Rabbi Shmuel says they circumcised, but they didn't remove that film. And when they did, when they entered the land of Israel, they had a hill of these films or the foreskins, and they took that blood and covered it with earth. That's the earth that Bilam said, who can stand up to these people? And that's why we have the custom that we cover it with earth, that we, the Jewish people, are compared to the earth. As Avram was told, your offsprings will be like the earth. We were always performing the bris until we were split into two kingdoms, and the northern kingdom prevented us from doing the bris milah until Eliyahu came, and Eliyahu prayed to God when he saw he was about to be killed, and God said, don't pray to me, run, you run, you'll live. And when Eliyahu came to God, he said, I've avenged the fact that the Jews aren't performing the bris. God said, stop being so vengeful, from now on you should speak good about the Jewish people, from now on whenever they make a bris, you will come and testify before me that they have performed the covenant.